Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hi, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office Overtime. So today we're going to cover an interesting topic that really emerged from last podcast, right? Where we were talking about fake corporate laughter. And the question we want to address and certainly hear from you regarding is, do you have to fake certain kinds of behavior to succeed at work?
Yeah.
I think you want to come in with
No,
that?
Go ahead.
I think you do.
Yeah.
We'll start with that.
You know, I'm so used to being fake that I don't even know when I'm fake anymore.
I think it's a part of life in some ways.
It's become part of who I am.
Yeah. I think it's actually a question that one naturally asks certainly early in career, you know, early on in one's career development. And certainly then you don't want the answer to be yes. You'd actually rather that I can be who I am and be appreciated and my work will speak for itself. And yet, that is so rarely the case over time, right?
I wonder if it's more introverts, because I think extroverts know that faking friendship, faking hello, how are you, that kind of thing is just sort of how they get rewarded in life. Like they're accustomed to being that way.
Yeah.
Do you whether they feel it or not.
Whether they feel it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You think that extroverts don't know that they're faking it?
Well, I think it's very natural for them to be that way. But I think if you ever stop them in the moment and say, is that really how you feel?
Yeah.
You know, you'd probably find out, no, I really have to return a phone call to my boyfriend who's breaking up with me. I just saw I'm being sued by a nasty client. I mean, there's lots of things going on, but an extrovert can usually override that to bring people together and be friendly, I think.
Yeah. So I thought about just the different areas that we have to feign or fake or pretend, like we fake interest, right? Mm-hmm. You see photos on someone's desk, and certainly if it's a client or a boss, you ask them about those individuals, if it's kids or a dog.
I certainly have faked the vacation pictures.
Right.
Oh, like, I really don't care about your vacation pictures. I'll tell you another one. I have a friend who goes to the botanical gardens and takes pictures of flowers all the time.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I have to fake interest and try not to go through them too fast because I don't really care.
Right. But you're doing that to build the bond.
I don't know why I'm doing it. I don't know why. I guess because it would hurt her feelings, right? I don't want to hurt her feelings.
Well, that's exactly it. And what I was thinking about is once a while back when I was a recruiter for the Peace Corps, there was a colleague who his only interest was in video games. And I had to feign interest in those video games in order for us to have a working relationship because there was nothing that I was going to talk about that he would be interested in. Mm-hmm. But we needed to find some common ground.
You know, I'm trained in sales. I've taken a lot of different sales training courses. And what you're taught is when you meet somebody, you have to find the commonality. That's important.
Yeah.
So if you're in their office or even if you're just meeting them, you look around at what you can connect with. And family photos or vacation photos or awards, stuff like that does become like, oh, I'm interested in that. You know, and most of the times you're not. But you're always trying to find that connection.
The common ground.
Right, whether it is or not.
Yeah. Right.
Is that fake or is that business?
Well, or is it may not be fake if you're interested in connecting. You're saying, okay, let me look for material that will help me do that.
Right. So I think some people would call that fake and others would not.
Yes.
So being trained in sales, I don't think of that as fake.
Right. Well, how about the other area where if you have someone, we talk about this a lot, a boss or a coworker who's easily threatened, and you have to, in order to kind of put their guard down, feign respect.
Right.
and acknowledgement and kind of feed their ego in order to get them to work well with you.
Right.
That's fake, right?
Yes. But again, is this fake or is this just business?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I'm just asking the question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess it's fake business. It's faking for business. Or,
right.
Yeah. It's, and a lot of people, again, if you have a strong fairness orientation, mm-hmm. I mean, we've worked with clients, right, where we'll say you just have to give this person credit, whether
right.
you really think they're wonderful or not. You have to say, well, you do, you know, you do a great PowerPoint, or you took credit for my work very well there in that meeting. You know, you have to, I'm being facetious, but you have to find some territory that you can.
And, you know, when we say that in workshops, let's say we have a large audience, there's always two or three people in the audience
yeah.
who get angry at that. They don't
That's right.
want to be fake like that. They don't want
right.
to tell somebody that they're terrific when they really don't feel they are.
Right.
And it's a technique, really. It's not
you don't
necessarily
have to do it.
The truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a technique to not be in a power struggle.
Right.
To be able to move this conversation forward. But there are people that just won't do it.
Right.
They don't want to do that. So it's fake to them.
Yes. Yeah. So that's a good question, too, is what kinds of behaviors feel fake to you?
Right.
Right? For
right.
some people, they're fine putting on a positive attitude, whether they're feeling positive or not. It doesn't feel fake. It feels like a mindset.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For others, they're just like, oh, you're so sugary. I don't like that.
Right. I see what you did there. You're manipulative.
Yeah.
That's how they see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So it's fake for some and not fake for others.
Yeah. And I think even in fake caring, I mean, we ask individuals, how are you? You ask someone, how was your vacation? Mm-hmm. Whether you really want to know.
Well,
or
you
not.
First of all, you even say, how are you? And you really don't care. You want to move on with what... Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, these are just sort of niceties that we do.
Yeah, or the right. person who's a hypochondriac, had your surgery go, you know, did they get your nostrils working better? Whatever you ask, we ask things of concern and interest because we're trying to let them know we care.
Right, so is that fake?
I
don't know either. I think for some it is. For me, it's truly not fake.
Yeah.
You may think it is, but it's not. I really do care, I
right.
think. Yeah. But I do fake vacation photos.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Interesting
I do.
That.
Yeah. I mean, I love to see people's kids, but their spouses, I don't know. Are the kids kids? I mean, there's a limit. So, you know, and yeah.
All right. So we're saying when is fake behavior required at work? Maybe that's part of the question, too.
Right.
Because before
do you need
we,
to be fake to be successful.
Yeah. Do you have to have a corporate laugh? You know, do you have to laugh mm-hmm. at the joke if you don't think it's funny? Do you?
I'm going to say yes. That you have to have a certain amount of political correctness,
uh-huh.
which is another way of saying fake.
Yes.
Because it doesn't really matter. You know, authenticity, if it's not your business, it's someone else's business.
Right, right.
It doesn't always play well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not about you. It's about the purpose of the company. It's about
right.
what we're trying to achieve here.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually even thinking, Kathy, of the managers and bosses and owners, business owners that we've spoken to who don't want to necessarily say hello to their staff mm-hmm. or acknowledge their staff, right? And we say to them, if you want to get the best out of them, you actually have to feign some interest in how they're doing as a human being.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they may say, that's inauthentic for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, okay, we'll just get ready to rehire a lot of people over time.
And usually they do come around and they see the benefit mm-hmm. of those niceties. They do see that, you know, it really takes seconds, literally seconds,
right.
to make somebody feel welcome.
Right.
And that even if it is inauthentic, it doesn't give you a problem.
Right.
I think that's what a lot of this, the reason for this fakeness is to avoid conflict.
Uh-huh.
I think.
To avoid conflict. Uh-huh. I think about it as to give recognition to individuals. like if you ask someone how are they doing, you know, there are people who are very relational at work, right? And mm-hmm. so if you don't ask them how you're doing, they will then develop a grudge, or they'll feel right. that they're not appreciated.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was thinking more in terms of, let's say the company buys another company.
Yeah.
And therefore new management may be coming in, but they want you to be excited.
Yes.
So you have to fake excitement.
Yes.
Because that's in the company's spirit.
Right.
Regardless right. of what you're thinking. And right. if you don't, you're going to look like a sourpuss. You're going to look like,
right.
you know, all right, he's on the chopping board or she's not going right. to move forward. So there's also that kind of political correctness.
Right. That's so true. And especially like if a company is going to introduce all new systems mm-hmm. and the last thing you want to do is have to adapt to that system, mm-hmm. you may have to fake excitement about that. That, oh boy, better software, can't wait.
Right. And some people will meet it with sarcasm.
Uh-huh.
And that's not necessarily good.
Right.
That's not accepted.
It's not appreciated by the right. management.
And, you know, the best thing really to do is, I guess, fake this excitement, but then make your concern known in a productive way.
Yeah.
Rather than letting it show in behavior.
Right. So you'd say, I really appreciate you wanting to introduce these new systems. That's great. But I'm just wondering, what's the onboarding process here mm-hmm. and how will we integrate it with what we're doing?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, it's hard.
It's a lot of work.
It's hard to, but it is fake to a lot of people to be that aware of mm-hmm. the effect of your personality and your positiveness or lack of positiveness. But it matters in a lot of corporate environments.
Yeah. Well, I think the other opportunity is if you are able to play along in this way, when you finally do want to say something that may be confrontational or extremely truthful, it can be received in a better light, you know, because you're mm-hmm. seen as a team player, you're seen as someone who wants things to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you object to something, it's appreciated as opposed to considered.
Right. I mean, if you get known as somebody who balks at everything or is negative yeah. or, you know, just truly who they are, they're going to expect that out of you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be, you're going to be known as the curmudgeon in the office. And
right.
that is not going to be good for you. You're not going to get promotions.
Yeah.
You're not going to do as well. But I think, you know, so it's a matter of taking the, I guess I'm calling it political correctness because I can't think of another term
mm-hmm.
that would, you got to play well with others.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So right. playing well with others may seem fake at times.
Right. And if it's too fake, if you decide, oh, God, I can't stand this environment, then it's just the culture is not a good fit for
right.
you.
Right. Well, there are some companies that are really rah-rah. And that's not what you want to do. You know, you don't want to be that happy all the time.
Right.
Then that would be fake. That would be too hard.
Right. Well, and there are also cultures that won't give you the tough feedback that you need, perhaps to improve your performance, and instead give this happy face and everything's fine, and then you get fired or, you know, you're suddenly on probation or something like that. So that can be difficult, too.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to find out the truth of the situation.
Well, if you have a fake boss who is always telling you you're doing great, but
yeah.
then doesn't give you a promotion
yeah.
or doesn't give you a raise, and then you find out you're not that great, that's really a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So discovering whether words and actions match
mm-hmm.
takes some time.
So back to this fake thing. I mean, don't a lot of women fake orgasms?
Why, yes, Kathy.
Yes, I think they do. I think if we don't have we only have the two of us here, and I'm not going to ask you, have you ever faked? Because I'm assuming you have, because I have. I think, you know, there's a certain time and a place when you know to fake it, right?
So this is just a part of life.
This is part of
life,
faking it.
Oh, I fake, like, if someone cooks a meal for me, no matter what it tastes like, it is an amazing meal. As far as I'm concerned.
I agree with that. I agree with that. That I mean, if somebody went that far out of the way,
yeah.
it's...
Right.
I remember I once baked a cake that was a total failure.
Uh-huh.
And it was really... I mean, I just read the recipe wrong. I did everything wrong. And I remember the entire party. You know, they came for dinner. Well, it was a dinner party. Okay. You know, it was like six people. Yeah. Uh-huh. And they all at once just said, the fact that you even baked us a cake, we applaud. And I thought, that is the best answer. Because it's true that they appreciated the effort, but they knew it was a failure.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember whether anyone ate it or not, but... But anyway, right, so there you go. So that's fake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because you don't want to insult.
Right.
Right.
Right. So I think, and maybe another question is, are there kinds of fake behavior that just aren't, you can't do, they aren't acceptable, you know, which I guess would have to do with your moral code or something. Like you can't fake approval. I remember we had one person ask a question regarding her boss, who was telling her how he was going to take someone out, you know, how he's going to sabotage another person.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And she's like, what do I do with that? You can't fake approval of that.
Right, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. right.
Because that just feels wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough. But I think what we're talking about is not being inauthentic, but being aware of how your response is going to land.
Uh-huh.
And not necessarily selling yourself out, but being able to know when to tell the truth and when not.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. You can always tell the truth later at a time when people can hear it.
Uh-huh.
But not everybody can hear the truth at the moment of when it's happening.
That's a very good point.
It's a really fine line, and it's something that I see the difference between immaturity and maturity in the workplace.
Yeah.
And I think it's those that know how to make things kind of move forward and work, but they don't lie.
Yeah. Well, what I was thinking when you were saying about the right time, like what could happen is you may get in a heated discussion. Maybe someone even says something, makes an unfair accusation of you, like you didn't finish this on time or you made this or that mistake. And you didn't. And you could say, in point of fact, I did not. But in terms of addressing that person at another time, you want to wait till the situation itself has cooled down some, you know, in order to discuss future actions going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So you
mm-hmm.
could say, I understand you were very concerned. I know it wasn't your intention to call me out like that, but going forward, I'd prefer X, Y, and Z.
Right, right. Yeah, this takes maturity, though, to know how to do that.
Yeah. Right, and if I look back at my own experience, I just used to shut down.
I'm sure I blurted out the wrong things at many wrong times, and I can still do that when pushed really hard. But I try not to. I try to, you know, grow up.
Yeah.
But it is something that comes with maturity, and that's thinking before you speak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not an easy thing to do.
Right. And sort of packaging your message, whatever, in a way that people can hear it.
Right. And omitting what might not be heard.
Mm-hmm.
I have to make a judgment at that moment. That's not really going to land where I need it to be. So yeah. I'm not going to say that right now.
You know, I think I want to say for those of you who are very outspoken, who see yourself as authentic, who can't stand phonies, I want to say you don't have to do a personality change to be mm-hmm. in a number of work environments, and we can appreciate that about you. We, in our books, we call the being the rebel or the truth teller. That quality is to be appreciated and respected. On the other hand, usually you need some assistance in terms of message delivery systems, mm-hmm. you know, like not sending an email that's inflammatory at the wrong
right.
time. How, if you object to something, how you actually convey that message. That's a lot of, Kathy, you help people all the time mm-hmm. in coaching. When we go into companies, we help all the time with that. And the same for introverts who are busy, for general interaction is not that comfortable an experience anyway. And so then having to put sugar on it feels really obnoxious.
Right.
But it isn't, we're not talking about overhauls here. We're just talking about a few adjustments.
Yeah. And I think that most people ultimately learn this.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they learn it through trial and error, but most workers that have been in the workforce for a while have learned what backfired.
Yeah.
You know, what did not land well. And maybe because they said nothing, not just because they said something, but, and they've learned to speak up.
Yeah.
For themselves. this is definitely something that has to be learned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually I would like to share a personal lesson I had about faking it.
Oh, we love that.
When I did the Peace Corps, when I was in the Peace Corps, I was one of several health education curriculum writers, and we were supposed to write a curriculum that was distributed throughout the islands of Ponape. And there was this head of health education schools, in schools. His name was Rosario. I remember him very well. And every time we would send him a curriculum, he would ignore it, and then he'd send it back and say, this is no good. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't stand him. Mm-hmm. I did not respect him. I thought he was never at his job. Mm-hmm. He was never at his office. Anyway, I had all kinds of judgments about him. And so I was always challenging him, like, where is that? We need it. We want to move on this. And finally, someone told me, you know, you have to pay respect to him, regardless of what you think about this mm-hmm. guy. Mm-hmm. You have to treat him in a respectful manner. Mm-hmm. And so finally, I went to his office and did that, you know, where I said, I really respect your experience here, and I'm sorry that we haven't quite figured out how to work together yet. And this is what we've done so far. And tell us what we need to do to make mm-hmm. this work for you. Mm-hmm. And it totally transformed our experience. I mean, wow. He still was late and didn't respond quickly, and, you know, he did his thing, but he got it that I was paying him the proper amount of respect.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So the next time you're in Ponape,
yeah, give Rosario a visit.
Be respectful.
I just remember how mad
well,
I was.
I mean, I
so
think
many times.
Being respectful in general, even though I know many of you don't want to hear this, it works.
Yeah.
I have to learn that lesson over and over again. But I think being, you know, always giving people improfessionally a benefit of the doubt and saying, you know, I understand what you're going through, but I just really want to work this out with you. Mm-hmm. It generally works.
Yeah.
But it's very hard to get to when people have pissed you off.
Well, and you have to swallow your pride, basically, right? Yes. And your judgment and your righteousness. I love being righteously angry.
Right.
I mean, I don't love it, but, you know, it's like, I'm going to render justice here. I'm going to take him out. Yeah, we're getting fired, you know, which, of course, would never in 1,000 years have happened.
So what are we saying? Fake is work? Fake is good?
Fake is part of a certain amount of fake.
A certain amount of fake, yeah.
Is part of success at work.
Yeah.
It's part of building relationships, I think, depending on people and understanding that everyone is coming from a slightly different place, and some people a more different place than others, right?
Yeah.
And particularly, I mean, I'll use a clinical term, for people who are more narcissistic, more easily threatened, more competitive with you, there's a certain amount of faking collegial behavior that you're going to need.
Mm-hmm.
What's your...
No, I agree.
Kathy feels great about.
Yeah, I agree. I think I've just gotten so accustomed to doing it that I don't really separate it out anymore as fake.
Right.
It's just sort of the way it is. I mean, you know, I know you once heard me on the phone and you was like, oh, that was a sales call. Like, you know, like I have different voices depending on what I'm doing professionally. And that's the way it is because you just know, you know.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Different behavior, different voices and...
Right.
Different mannerisms.
Logan, I'm curious how all this sounds to you, being earlier in your career.
Some of my earlier jobs were retail jobs, so I learned pretty early on how to BS and feign interest and with customers and with managers, too, that I didn't particularly like or particularly respect. I remember one in particular that was really, really disrespectful, but he was my manager, and I was, you know, I would try to... appease him and you know, make a joke or something that he like knew, you know, who I was and we kept a good relationship and it worked. Yeah.
Humor is a great weapon.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, just it's only a certain, you know, when you're at work. You don't take that home with you. It's not the way you run your personal life.
Right.
But it is something that you do have to acquire in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's our message.
And I know there are people that don't want to hear this.
That's right.
And we want to hear from you.
And I see their faces are flashing in front of me. I know a bunch of them. They don't want to hear this.
Tweet us at AskG2 and send us your comments to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
You know, I taught my daughter really early on that, you know, I said, sucking up works. I remember teaching her this when she was really little. And she came home and she went, oh, my God, it really works. She really learned that, you know, your teachers need to know that you respect them and that you like them. And you got to, you know, you do have to... And it actually for her is not fake anymore. She's just sort of
integrated it in her life.
Right, she's the way I have. Right, she's just sort of become somebody that wants to get along well with her professor. So she knows how to make sure that happens.
Well, it sounds like we're saying feigning respect at the very least,
right,
is a skill that you want to keep developing throughout life.
Right.
And finding something that you can respect and acknowledge in someone regardless of the rest of their behavior.
Yeah. This is a tough one. We really want to hear your thoughts.
Yes.
Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast overtime.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.